certain churches today would be known as Low Sunday. In contrast to last week's great festival of Easter, today is known as Low Sunday. I can't think of a more inappropriate title for a Sunday as Low Sunday. You know, after last week, after the resurrection of Jesus, today surely has got to be, thank God it's true Sunday, or yabba dabba do it's true Sunday, or something like that, because if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then boy, we'd be a miserable bunch of people. We'd be here looking back on something that didn't happen. But if Jesus raised from the dead, what a difference that makes to our lives, to our future. Jesus is alive. Many years ago, there was a young man by the name of Albert Edward Ross. He was an English advertising agent. He was a freelance writer. And he'd come to that point in his life when he was scary skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus. So he decided that he was going to write a book that disproved the resurrection. And he realized there was quite a lot of material to be looking at, so he decided he was going to look at the last 7 or 10 days of Jesus. And he was going to look at what the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had to say about Jesus. He was going to find the flaws in their argument, and he was going to show once and for all that Jesus did not rise from the grave. He'd even got a title for the book, Jesus, the Last Phase. But as he started to look at the scriptures, he found he couldn't write that book. It was impossible to put pen to paper and prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead as he looked at the scripture. And so he did write a book. He published that book under a pseudonym, the name of Frank Morrison. And the book was simply entitled, Who Moved the Stone? Written in the 1930s, it has been reprinted many, many times since then. It is still available in the bookshops and online. And if you want not just a flippy floppy soft copy, you can buy for yourself one of the original hardback edition of this book. It'll cost you £392.44 plus £2.88 postage. I suggest you get a second-hand one. Who moved the stone? Because Jesus is alive when you look at the evidence. Go back many, many years before that, and there was another young man called Saul of Tarsus. He was so infuriated with the prospect of this new group coming together, claiming that Jesus was alive. They called themselves the Way or Christians, a mock name for them. He was determined to wipe them off the face of the earth. And he did all that he could to make sure that Christianity came to an end. And it may have succeeded, except he bumped into Jesus. And that changed everything for him. And he went from being the greatest adversary to the greatest advocate for the gospel. And instead of persecuting the church, he established Christian communities. He encouraged Christian communities because Jesus is alive. Many years ago, J.B. Phillips produced a translation of the scriptures. Some of us who are quite old had his translation in schools, had Bibles in schools, because it was a school translation. And he thinks that 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that Daniel read, is perhaps the most important chapter in the whole of the Bible. Because our faith rests upon resurrection. If the tomb was still occupied, if Jesus was dead, then we're believing in fairy tales. And fairies don't exist. The Message translation puts it like this, and face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors, and everything you stake your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God. All these affidavits we passed on to you, verifying that God raised Christ, are sheer fabrications if there is no resurrection. But Jesus is alive. We have a truth to hold on to. We have a truth to live by because Jesus is here all with us. It touches every part of our lives. We are resurrection people. And Paul, writing to Corinth, writing about the gospel, writing about the resurrection, he says to them simply, I want to remind you. I want to remind you of the gospel about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ultimate ascension, and then one day, his return to the earth. I want to remind you of the gospel. It's of first importance. It's a priority in our faith, the gospel of Jesus, the death, the resurrection. Hold on to it. You see, Jesus died for our sins. That's what Paul says. When Jesus went on the cross, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a sign that things had all gone wrong. Jesus died on that cross for our sins. And we've sung about that this morning. That we are people who are forgiven, not partially, but completely, totally. It's gone, it's done away with because Christ died for us. Christ died for me. If nothing will get us to bow in humble adoration of the goodness of God, I guess nothing ever will. We are a forgiven people. And we live in a world that is racked with guilt. And people can't deal with their guilt. And it spoils their lives. It ruins everything that they do. But in Jesus, we have the belief, we have the hope, we have the assurance that when Christ died, he died for our sins. And if you've been a sinner, you should be grateful for that. If you're not a sinner, you're deluded. We have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, but we have been forgiven. This is the first importance. And then it says that Christ was buried. Now, the Roman soldiers were very good at knowing when somebody was dead. They'd done a few crucifixions. They chalked it up, 3 this week, 2 next week, you know. They knew when a person was dead. And if they had taken somebody down from the cross who was not dead and buried them, they would be in trouble. You only bury somebody who is dead. And Jesus was put in the grave. There have been people who have been brought back to life. The widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus. But Jesus is the only person who has risen. He is alive because he was buried in the grave. I've been in a few cemeteries over my time. And they're very peaceful places. Not a lot happens in a cemetery. A few foxes, a few squirrels, birds nesting. The people out cutting the grass. Nothing changes week from week. I've yet to come across a plot in the cemetery where it says that there's an empty grave. One careful owner. The person has come back to life. Because once you were buried, you were buried. You were dead. But the story that Paul is telling us is that not only did Jesus die for our sins, not only was he put in the grave, as every person who has died has been, but Paul says, He's been raised. He is alive. Who moved that stone? Not a small boy. Not a couple of ladies. This was a big stone. Not something you pick up on the beach or something like this. This was a huge stone, probably the height of a 6-foot person. It didn't get moved. But the glory of the Easter morning is that that stone was moved. The grave clothes were left in the grave. They were no longer needed because Jesus was not dead. He was alive. He'd been raised from the dead. This is first important stuff, as Paul tells us. And then Jesus appeared to people. The resurrection appearances wasn't just to one or two people. People didn't just catch him in half a light. They didn't just think that they saw him. They weren't people who had minds that could be susceptible to that sort of thing. To individuals, to small groups, to 500 people at any one time. You may fool one person. You may convince a couple of people. But 500 people saw Jesus alive. We have a Savior who went before us. A Savior who died for our sins. A Savior who was buried. A Savior who has been raised from the grave. And he is alive. Hallelujah. That is good news. That's why it's good being a minister, because you've always got something good to say. We don't have a dead God. We have a risen Savior, one who is with us. And you know, we need to hold on to that power. We need to hold on to the fact. We know what an agnostic is. An agnostic is somebody who doesn't really believe. They'll go along, but they're not really enthusiastic about it. There's a danger, you know, folks, that we can become agnostic with regards to the resurrection. Oh, it happened. You know, we think about it at Easter. We sing some happy songs. We dance. We have baptisms. We have all of this. But it is a changing power of God, the resurrection. Every time we come into church, no matter how you are feeling, you come in and you see a cross that's empty. It doesn't have a body on it. It doesn't have a dying person. It's empty because Jesus doesn't need it anymore because he is alive. And that changes things in our lives. Peter was changed. The man who'd never deny but did deny, he became the foundation of the church. Paul was transformed. And even in suffering, when he lost all of his status, when he was in a prison cell in the middle of night, not sure whether he'd live the next days, he said, come on guys, let's sing some hymns. Let's praise God, because it transforms lives. Frank Morrison's life was transformed because he looked in the scriptures and he found that Jesus is alive. Life is different because of Resurrection Day. Josh McDowell, who's written some books on apologetics, seeking to give a defense of the Christian faith, says, no matter how devastating our struggles, our disappointments, our troubles, they are only temporary. No matter what happens to you, no matter the depth of tragedy or pain you face, no matter how death stalks you and your loved ones, the resurrection promises you a future of immeasurable good. Amen. That is not for one moment casting to one side some of the difficulties that people face. Difficulties in relationships. Difficulties at work. Difficulties with finance. Difficulties with health. They are part of life. Nobody is immune from that. But whatever happens, in whatever way, we have a Savior who has conquered the grave. One who is alive. And the transforming power of Jesus makes a difference. Paul writes elsewhere, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead body. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. That Spirit of God who brought again Jesus from the dead. Where is that Spirit now? It's in me. It's in you. It's in the person next to you, the person behind you. The transforming, life-giving power of the triune God is with us. And that's going to make a difference, isn't it? It's got to make a difference to those troubles, to those disappointments, to those uncertainties, because it's all temporary. What is eternal? We cannot see. What is eternal cannot be taken away from us. We are Christ's. Lean on him. Draw strength from him. Be transformed from him. Give to him the uncertainties, the heartbreaks, and let the transforming power of the Spirit make a difference in your life. Not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Monday evening, on a Thursday lunchtime, on a Saturday afternoon when your team's just lost again. Let that power transform you. And then finally, let that transforming power cultivate in your hearts. You know, when we come to church on a Sunday, we come to celebrate God's grace. We come to celebrate the resurrected Christ. We come to have our lives touched by him. And it's only when we come together that things really do happen in our lives. People have said to me, and have said to other people, well, I don't need to be a Christian to come to church. Well, perhaps not, but boy, you're missing out a lot. You need other people. You need the presence of God. This is where we meet together. This is where the healing of God is. And it doesn't matter if for you the singing is too loud, is too quiet, the sermons are too long or they're too short. You know, folks, we've come together in the presence of God as God's people. And things happen when we come together. Outside of church, faith can be sapped away by the world in which we live. But we come here in God's presence, as God's people, to be strengthened and to be changed. And Paul wrote all of that in 1 Corinthians 15 about Jesus' death and resurrection because he wanted to remind them. And you remind people because there is a tendency to forget and not see it as important. So a week after Easter Day, I want to remind you that Christ died for your sins. That he was buried in the grave. That he rose again from the dead. That he was seen by twos and threes, by hundreds. And that the transforming power of Jesus that started in that first century is still available to us today. That's what the testimonies were last week. That's a testimony of many people. May his resurrection life fill our hearts and our lives today. And because Jesus is alive, My prayer for you, for me, for us, is that this week will be different. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a God who is alive. We thank you that we have a Savior who knows our needs. We are thrilled because the transforming power of God is alive and in our lives. Lord, be with us today. Transform our weeks. Transform our future as we hold on to the truth that Jesus is alive. Lord God, hear our prayer.